Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we've been bringing these messages to you for 21 years. And so we thank the Lord for this radio station, for all the prayers and provision, and most of all for you, the listener. And we hope you come back each and every Sunday and make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. If this is your first day tuning in today, we say welcome to you, and we hope you find a good message here, a teaching, an instruction, a reproof, a rebuke if necessary. And we preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We preach from God's Word, and so you're going to enjoy the messages that we bring to you each and every Sunday. Today we're going to be talking about part two in giving into the kingdom. Last week we took up the first part of this, giving into God's kingdom, trusting God for your finances, trusting God that He can provide for you, and at the same time that you can give to do the work of the kingdom. And so we're going to start today with part two, and we're going to start in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. You all know it, the Great Commission. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to take up this message, Giving into the Kingdom, part two, in just a minute. First, I want to give you a brief update what's going on in Africa. We have started on the school project. We've got three buildings to build on 1 acre plot of land, and we've got the septic system all finished. We're working on the footings and the foundation, and so it's a big project, lots of steel, lots of concrete, lots of sand, and just work in the hot sun over there, and we will accomplish that which we have started. And so if you want to be a part of this project, it's going to be a good primary school for the children of Makunda, 200 to 300 students. And in this village of Makunda, half of the children are Muslim, and so it'll be an opportunity to evangelize them, share the gospel at the same time as giving them good teaching in reading, writing, and arithmetic. So that is the goal. That is the vision. If you want to be a part of that, we'd love to hear from you. Contact me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, pureprairie@hotmail.com. I'll share more details with you and see how you can get involved and help make this vision a reality, and we'll give the children of Makunda Village a good place to go to school. Well, today we're going to be talking about giving into the kingdom, a series we started last week, how you can trust God to take care of you, even if you're sacrificing some of your income, giving sacrificially into the kingdom, and the reasons why you should do that, the reasons why you can trust God. All of that is very important to know, that as a born-again believer, God has a plan for you, not only for your salvation, but what you can do for the kingdom here on the earth. And that's God's plan, to get you involved, that you're not just sitting on the sideline watching others do the work, watching others receive the blessing, that you're receiving blessing yourself, partaking in the joy of giving, partaking in seeing kingdom projects come to fruition. And so that is God's plan for your life. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Well, I'm going to start out in Matthew 28, 19, because this is the Great Commission, and every single believer has to embrace this, either personally by going or personally by contributing to send those who go and to participate in kingdom work and kingdom endeavors all across the globe. When Jesus initiated the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, when He initiated the church, He had in mind that the government would expand, the government of the kingdom of God would expand, and there would be no end to it. It would go to every corner of the earth, the far corners of every continent of the earth, and the message of the gospel would go out through the internet and through personal preaching, through crusades, through church revivals, through books being written, radio broadcasts, television broadcasts, all these different ways that man uses to communicate, share messages. Jesus' plan for the church is to use those to spread the gospel, the good news of the gospel. And so he told the disciples in Matthew 28:19, he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And then he transferred that authority to the disciples and thereby transferred it to us as well, because we are disciples of Jesus Christ. If you're born again, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so then he told the disciples, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching all that I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age." And so your charge, your commission, your goal, your destiny as a born-again believer is to take the gospel to the nations, go and make disciples of all the nations. And if you are listening to me today and you don't know which way to go, you don't know where to start to make others disciples, first of all, you have to become a disciple yourself. And I thank you for listening today, because that's my intent, is to train you up to be a disciple. Just as I was a learner at one point, very ignorant in the ways of God, ignorant in His Word, I studied. And so that's what you have to do, study to show yourself approved, a workman who is not ashamed and rightly divides the Word of God. And so your discipling others starts with discipling yourself. Be in the fellowship, disciple yourself with study of God's Word, be in prayer so you will have wisdom and understanding of the things that you study. And when you get an understanding of Jesus sending out the disciples, you understand that He wants to send you and He wants to send me in the very same way. Beloved, this is going to be the pattern all the rest of the age. And Jesus said, "I will be with you always, even into the end of the age." And so it is not time to rest now. It is time to occupy. It is time to spread the gospel. This is the church age. This is the evangelism age. And this is the time to spread the gospel to people far and wide. And that is the reason why God sent me to Africa. And I can give you a testimony on that, is that in 2010, the Lord gave me a very vivid, detailed dream. And He showed me He was opening up a door for me to go to Africa to preach. And I was standing on a platform, had my Bible in my right hand, preaching to thousands of African people. In my left hand, I had a white bag that said Revelation 22 on the front of the bag, New Heaven and New Earth. And behind me, a grain silo filled to the very top with ears of maize, white maize like they use in Africa, that they roast on the street corners. They grind it. They make ugali meal out of it. And so God was showing me He was going to provide the provision. He was giving me the message, Revelation 22, along with all of the other messages that come from His holy word, the Bible, and then all the thousands of people out there to receive the message. And between me and the African people was 40 men with red hats, blue shirts, intercessors that He had given me, men who were in the prison where I was preaching at the time, had been preaching for several years when He gave me the call to go to Africa. And He showed me these men would be my intercessors. They would stand in the gap for me between me and those receiving the message. They would stand in the gap to protect me, to intercede for my health, my safety, for wisdom, for understanding, for discernment, all of these things. God gave it all to me and laid it out so that I could know that He was with me, that He was opening this door that no man could shut, and the choice was mine to make. The decision was mine, and so I chose to go. And just a couple of months after I had that dream, received a phone call from an evangelist in Florida, and he said, "Jim, we're going to Nairobi, Kenya. We're going to preach crusade there and church revivals and visit orphanages, and we need a preacher to go with us. Do you want to go?" And I knew that was the answer to that dream. God was showing me first that He was making the way for me to go, and then it all fell into place. It all fell into line shortly thereafter. Well, so first, kingdom work depends on kingdom finances. And people go every day. Planes leave every day. Missionaries are on those planes every single day, going to different parts of the world. And so kingdom work depends on kingdom finances. Just as if you're working for a business, if you're having a business meeting with somebody, you need money for plane tickets, you need money for fuel to get to the airport and back, you may need money for a laptop computer and maybe some preparation materials, software programs, all that kind of stuff. And it's the very same in the kingdom work. You have to have kingdom finances to do kingdom work. When you go to the plane ticket counter, the American Airlines or British Airways, you can't say, well, I'm a soldier of God, I'm working for God's kingdom. They say, well, that's great, I still need to see your ticket. And so you have to pay, costs money. We have a saying in Africa, goes something like this: the gospel is expensive in Africa. Well, the reason that is because when people in Africa find out there's people coming from the USA or coming from Australia or coming from Great Britain, everything goes up in price. They know that the people coming from these wealthier countries have money to spend, and so everything goes up in price. And so therefore, the gospel is expensive in Africa. Well, the second point I want to make, people are sent out to do the work of making disciples. God works through people. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he who calls you, and he will see it come to pass. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will see it come to pass. What that means is God works through people. You have a calling. You have your faith. You have your mustard seed of faith, and you have a calling, you have a vision that God has given you. And so God works through you. He works through people. He works through the agency of humankind to spread the gospel. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will see it come to pass. Doesn't mean you can just sit on your front porch in your favorite rocker with your favorite mug of coffee and sit there and rock your days away and hope the kingdom of God gets spread to all the nations. No, beloved, it doesn't work that way. It takes money. It takes committed people of the kingdom of God, people of the church. It takes committed people to give sacrificially and to pray for those who are being sent, pray for those who are on the mission field, pray for those who are pastoring churches. You have to pray, and you have to give, and you have to support those. If you can't go, you can send. If you can't be a missionary, you can pray for those who are missionaries. The Lord Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers into his harvest. It's not my harvest. It's not another pastor or missionary's harvest. It is the Lord's harvest. We are just working in the harvest. We're laborers in the harvest. We plant, we water, somebody else comes along and harvests, somebody else comes along and adds fertilizer or more water or more labor to the project, and it gets finished and God gets all the glory. And that's the way the kingdom of God works. Well, Paul talks about this being people being sent out. He talks about this in Romans chapter 10. This is the Apostle Paul in verse 14. How then will they call on him? How will they call on Jesus in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach? That is the sent ones. How are they to preach unless they are sent? That's the apostolic calling. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. That is one of the most eloquently written statements. The Apostle Paul was divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit, and he's saying here, They can't go unless somebody sends them. They can't preach unless somebody is paying the bill. They can't tell the good news of the gospel unless somebody helps them get to the place where they can tell the good news. And beloved, this scripture really speaks to me because people all the time tell me, well, we're at the end of the age where everybody in the world knows the gospel. Everybody in the world has heard about Jesus and the plan of salvation. I want to stop you right there and say, if you believe that, come to Kenya and spend a couple of weeks with me, and I'll take you to somebody the very first day who's never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. We work in a Muslim area, Muslim concentration of about 50% in Makunda Village and in the Mumias area. There are many, many people there who have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel, have no idea that Jesus died for them. They believe he was a good man or a prophet or some other description of him. They have no idea why Jesus went to the cross or even if he did go to the cross. And so don't fall for the line that everybody has already heard and we've got the internet everywhere. Well, we don't even have electricity in Kenya, over a third of the country. And so how can people have internet in their home? There's no laptop, and many of them don't even have a smartphone to plug in, and they don't have electricity to plug it into, even if they have a phone. And so this idea that we don't need missionaries anymore, or this idea that now everything is taken care of all over the world and we can just sit back and pray for the rapture or pray for the end time, that is a fallacy. Paul says, blessed are the feet of those who preach the good news. Beloved, I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back or put accolades on my resume. I was called to go to Africa, and beloved, if you pray, you'll find out God has called you to do something, maybe just to help send those who are willing and ready to go. The sent ones, the apostles, in the body of Christ. What is the purpose of the apostles? Well, as in all of the offices of the church, we have the apostles, we have the prophets, we have the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. They all work together to build up the body of Christ. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, that these five offices, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, the reason God raises them up is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. And so that's God's plan. It is the structure of the church. The apostles are the de facto leaders of the church. They're the governors. They're the ones that lay the foundation on top of the foundation of Jesus Christ. And so it is important that apostles have support, have prayer support, have financial support, and all of these things that they need to do the work of the kingdom of God. Well, Apostle Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard without eating any of its fruit? Who tends a flock without getting some of the milk? Well, it's obvious those are rhetorical questions. It's obvious that the soldier doesn't supply his own support. The government of the United States supports the U.S. Army, the U.S. Navy, and the Marine Corps, the Coast Guard, all of these different aspects of our military, because we need a good military. We need a strong military for defense and also sometimes for offensive operations around the world. And so the soldiers don't spend their time selling stuff along the roadway so they can gather enough money to get to their mission. And it's the same way with the people of God who are sent out. The soldiers in the kingdom of God, the commander is the Lord himself. The commander in chief is the Lord himself. 1 Corinthians 9:11. For if we have sown spiritual things among you, Paul says, Is it too much for us to reap material things from you, as in food and shelter, clothing, those kinds of things? So Paul says, we're investing in your spiritual life. We're investing spiritual deposits in you. Is it too much to ask of you to give material things such as food and shelter and clothing? And Paul was a missionary himself, had the apostolic calling, made several mission trips up into Macedonia, Asia, Rome, Turkey, all of those places. And so he understood the need for support and the need for people to help him, to take care of him, and to protect him, and to shelter him, and to feed him while he was doing the work of the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 9:14, again, the Apostle Paul says, in the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. And so that's why at the end of every radio broadcast, I make available the contact information so you can contribute. I talked about building the school over there in Kenya. I believe somebody within the sound of my voice is going to write out a big check, $200,000, $300,000. We're going to get that school built by the grace of God, just like we did the children's home. We invested about $100,000 in that children's home project, probably another $50,000 or $60,000 into the building of the Living Water Church. And I believe this school is going to get built in the very same way, that we have the faith to believe, and we believe that God is able to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Well, the fourth point I want to make is God's desire is for you to send out and to give as a cheerful giver, cheerful participants in the army of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 9:6, the Apostle Paul says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has purposed or decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Well, I'm going to just stop right there and say this is a law, a universal law throughout all of the books of the Bible, through every chapter in the Bible, is that you harvest according to how you plant seed. When you sow seed abundantly and you sow seed with a cheerful heart and pray over that seed and bless those who receive that seed, God is going to bless it abundantly. There will be an abundant harvest, and it's no different than the natural law that governs every farmer out there listening to my voice today. You know, if you plant a seed of corn, you're not going to get just one seed back. You're going to get 150 on that ear, or 125, whatever the number is. And the same way with wheat. You plant one kernel of wheat, it puts up a stalk and it puts up a head with many rows of kernels of wheat. And so that is the universal law of reaping and sowing. And so that is God's plan for the kingdom. When you give as a cheerful giver, and you give not sparingly, not under compulsion, but cheerfully, and you give bountifully into the kingdom, beloved, you personally are going to reap a harvest off of that. You're going to reap a bounty off of that, as well as the kingdom is going to reap a bounty, and the kingdom is going to move forward with blessings because of your cheerful and your faithful giving. Well, back to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency, that is contentment and fulfillment, in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Verse 9, that same 2 Corinthians chapter 9, as it is written, he, God, has distributed freely. He has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. And so just as God is a giving God, God gives freely, he gives cheerfully. God gave his very own son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so God also distributes to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. Verse 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed, that is your money, your donation, for sowing, and increase the harvest of your righteousness. And you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Well, beloved, we don't give to get. We don't give hoping and praying that we get more in return. That's not the purpose of giving. The purpose of giving is to bring glory and honor to God, that his kingdom may permeate and penetrate every dark corner of the world. That is why we give. But at the same time, God says, I've got a harvest for you. I've got a blessing for you, that God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Well, beloved, I hope you pray about it. Pray about your part in helping us build that school over in Kenya. Pray about your part in boosting Gather the Outcast ministry and other ministries, other people being sent out to places all over the world to preach the gospel, to bring the good news. Blessed on the mountain are the feet of those who bring the good news. We thank the Lord for that good news. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. As we've spoken this whole time, we can't go without people sending us. We can't go without donations. We can't make the necessary things that we want to build. We can't buy the plane tickets. We can't build the schools. We can't plant churches. All of that requires money, and God will supply everything that we need, but you want to be part of it. We invite you to be part of it. We thank the Lord for the ones who have supported us up until this very day. Contact information, Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. You can use your debit or your credit card at paypal.me/ Gather the Outcast. That's paypal.me/ Gather the Outcast. Check us out on Facebook. You'll see many pictures of the Africa Mission. See what's going on over there. And facebook.com. Jim Rao, and we would love to hear from you today. Sit down today, write us out a note, let us know you're listening, include prayer requests, and we will be happy and blessed to hear from you today. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.